Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, reading until chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. And now this last verse is our text. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Dear friends, all of us, I am sure, are familiar with the story of Noah and the ark. It was several hundred years after the fall. Mankind had become exceedingly wicked and corrupt. In chapter 4, we read about Cain killing his brother Abel in a fit of jealousy. Later in the same chapter, one of Cain's descendants, a man by the name of Lamech, boasted about killing a man and marrying two wives. In the beginning of chapter 6, we read of the sons of God having intercourse with the daughters of men, resulting in a race of giants. Man became exceedingly wicked. We read in chapter 6, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then finally, God had had enough. We read in chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. mankind became so utterly wicked that God determined to destroy the entire creation. It was a very dark period in human history. But then in chapter 6, verse 8, a ray of light appears. We read there, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Of all the thousands, if not tens of thousands of people on the earth at that time, only one man, Noah, found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. To him the Lord appeared one day and commanded him to construct an ark of gopher wood. The length of it was to be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits, or approximately 450 by 75 by 45 feet. It had to have a window and a door and had to consist of three stories or three decks. In the ark, he was to bring two animals of every kind, male and female, as well as his wife and his son and their wives. And when everything was done, God would flood the earth with water. Amazingly, Noah did exactly as the Lord commanded him. In verse 22, we read, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." 120 years later, the ark was completed. Throughout this entire time, Noah urged people to repent, but to no avail. They did not listen. They simply went on with their lives as though everything was fine. But then one day it started to rain. It rained and rained and rained. For 40 days it rained hard. The Bible says God opened the windows of heaven and broke up the fountains of the deep. Within a few weeks, the entire earth was covered in water. As the flood waters began to rise on the earth, God commanded Noah to enter into the ark. We read in our text, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." What a wonderful verse this is. God would have been perfectly just to destroy the entire earth and everyone in it, including Noah and his family. But he did not do so. No, he remembered his covenant with Adam, that the seed of the woman would one day bruise the head of the serpent. And so, in his grace, he commanded Noah to enter into the ark along with his entire family. Well, what does this text have to say to us today? What lessons can we learn from it? Let us find out as we meditate on this portion of the Word of God together. The theme of the sermon is God commands Noah to enter into the ark. And we'll consider, first of all, the force of this command, secondly, the scope of this command, and secondly, the ground of this command. For 120 years, Noah had worked on the ark. He had gathered and shaped all of the wood. He collected all of the animals, just as God had commanded him. Now, at long last, it was finished. Now, at long last, the Lord would make good on his resolve to destroy the earth with a flood. Before he did so, however, the Lord commanded Noah to come into the ark. We read in our text, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." The word "come" here is in the imperative mood, meaning it is a command. God here commands Noah to enter into the ark. In Hebrew, however, the imperative mood can have a different force depending on the context. It can express a command, such as "come into the ark." It can express advice, such as "you really should come into the ark." It can express an invitation or permission, "come on into the ark." Or it can express a request or prayer, such as "please come into the ark." This, of course, raises the question, what force does it have here? Well, clearly God is not advising Noah to come into the ark. To advise is to make a suggestion. God never merely makes a suggestion, not even to his people. Nor is he pleading with him to get into the ark. You only plead when someone is unwilling or reluctant to do something. But Noah was not at all unwilling or reluctant to go into the ark. After all, he had spent 120 years of his life building it. It is possible that God is commanding Noah to enter into the ark. But even that seems a bit strong. Besides, then God would have used the verb "to go." He would have said to Noah, "Go into the ark." But he doesn't do so. He uses the word "come." That leaves only one option. The command here has the force of an invitation. God here is inviting Noah to enter into the ark. Now, there's something significant about this. This becomes clear when we consider what the ark represents. What does the ark represent? Commentators will differ on this. Some say it represents Christ. Just as Noah and his family were saved by the ark, so sinners today are saved by Christ. Now, while there is some truth to this, the real type of Christ in this chapter is not the ark, but Noah. After all, it is through Noah that God saved the world from extinction. What then does the ark represent? While we must be careful not to over-spiritualize the text, it is clear that the ark represents salvation, specifically the promise of eternal life. After all, it was by means of the ark that Noah and his family were spared from certain destruction. Thus, what we have here is the first gospel invitation. By inviting Noah and his family into the ark, God was inviting them to partake of his salvation. Now, there are those who say that God never invites sinners. For God to invite sinners, they say, is contrary to his sovereignty. God does not invite, he only commands. But that's not the force of the verb here. The force of the verb is that, clearly, of an invitation. God invites Noah to come into the ark. Now, my friends, God still does the same today. Every time the gospel is preached, the Lord invites sinners to partake of his salvation. He invites sinners, as it were, to come into the ark. To each and every sinner, he says, "Come thou and enter into the ark." The Lord's invitation here reminds us of so many invitations in his word. We think of Isaiah 55, verse 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Or we think of Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Or we think of Revelation 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Again and again, the Lord invites sinners to come unto him and to receive from him all the blessings of his salvation. And he does so here as well. Here too, the Lord invites sinners to come into the ark. Well, my friend, have you done that this morning? Have you also entered into the ark? Oh, do not misunderstand me, please. By asking whether you have entered into the ark, I'm not suggesting that it's all up to us. We do not teach that man has a free will, and that by means of this free will, he can accept God's offer of salvation. He can make a decision for Christ. Man by nature can do nothing of the kind. The Bible says that man is dead in sins and trespasses. He neither will nor can respond to God's offer of salvation. Nevertheless, God invites him to come. Moreover, this invitation is sincere and well meant. Yes, God sincerely invites sinners everywhere to come into the ark. And I ask you again, have you done that? Have you entered into the ark? Oh, how necessary this is. You see, unless we enter into the ark, we will be destroyed. Oh, not by the waters of the flood, but by the fire of God's judgment. And yet still today, the Lord invites us to come into the ark. Yes, he invites us. He doesn't command. He doesn't force us against our will. He invites, softly, tenderly, gently, encouragingly. "Come thou," he says, "and enter into the ark." Oh, but someone says, "How do I know that I may come? To whom is this invitation extended?" We turn to that under our second point. The invitation to come into the ark is extended first and foremost to Noah. This is implied in the wording of our text. It says there, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou into the ark." In the original Hebrew, the word "you" or "thou" is emphatic. The Lord here invites Noah in particular to come into the ark. Now, that's not surprising. After all, Noah was a godly man. You may recall in chapter 6, verse 8, we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, we read, Noah was a just man and perfect or upright in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In the chapter 7, verse 1, God says, For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Yes, Noah was a godly man. And therefore, we're not surprised that the Lord would invite him to come into the ark. But notice, he is not the only one whom the Lord invites. Who else is invited here? Well, not just Noah, but also his wife, his three sons, and their wives. This is first stated in chapter 6, verse 18. There God says to Noah, Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. This is repeated in our text, where God says, Come thou and all thy house. Now we are reminded here of something very important, namely that God is concerned not only with the salvation of individuals, but also of their families. We see this principle played out in both the Old and New Testaments. In Genesis 17, when God established his covenant with Abraham, he told him that he would be a God to him and to his seed after him in their generations. And as a sign and seal of this promise, God commanded Abraham to circumcise all the male members of his household, including his slaves. Similarly, in the New Testament, we read of whole households being baptized. For example, the household of Cornelius, the household of Lydia, of the Philippian jailer, of Stephanas, and Crispus. Moreover, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, Paul calls the children of believers holy. Now, this is not to suggest, of course, that just because the head of the household was a believer, that so were the children. That was not true in the case of Noah either. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem and Japheth were blessed, but Ham was cursed when he looked on his father's nakedness. And this is true also today. Although God enters into covenant with believers and their seed, that does not mean that the entire seed is in a state of grace. The grace that God offers must be appropriated in the way of faith and repentance. We must, every one of us, come to embrace Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Nevertheless, having said that, God is favorably disposed towards them. He demonstrates that by holding out to each one of them, the elect as well as the reprobate, all the blessings of his salvation. He did that to Noah and his family as well. They were all invited to come into the ark. And so it is for us. Yes, to each and every one of us, the Lord says, Come thou, you believer, and all your house, and enter into the ark. Well, my friends, what an encouragement we have here to come to Christ. The Lord declares in his word that he takes no pleasure in our death, but rather that we repent and believe on his Son and live to the glory of his name. And to that end, he invites us, also this morning, each one of us personally, to come into the ark. My friend, have you done that? Oh, it's not enough merely to receive from God the invitation to come into the ark. We must also respond to that invitation, and we must do so in faith and repentance. And have you done that this morning? If you have not, I urge you to do so today. For as in the days of Noah, the time is short. Before long, and it may be very soon, the time of grace will have expired. The Lord will shut up the doors of the ark and will destroy the earth again, not with water this time, but with fire. And those who do not respond to his invitation will be destroyed with the wicked and the unbelieving. Oh, my friend, do not let this happen to you. Do not be caught outside. The Lord invites you. The Lord commands you to come into the ark. Oh, heed his voice. Respond to His invitation today while there is still time. Come thou and all thy house and enter into the ark. Or perhaps someone says, on what ground does God issue this command? Turn to that under our third and final point. On what ground, on what basis does God invite Noah and his family to enter into the ark? Well, the answer is in our text. For thee, he says, have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, this is not the first time Noah is described as righteous. The first time is in chapter 6, verse 9. There we read, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. The word just in chapter 6, verse 9 is the same word translated righteous in chapter 7, verse 1. Noah was a righteous man. And it's on this ground that God invites him and his family to enter into the ark. Now that only makes sense. The only way we enter into eternal life is if we are righteous. And why is that? Well, because God is righteous. The Bible says He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And therefore, in order to stand before such a God, we ourselves must be pure. We ourselves must be righteous. And such was Noah. Noah was a righteous man. But you ask, where did Noah get this righteousness from? Well, he certainly did not get it from himself. Noah was a sinner, just like you and me. We know this because in chapter 9, we see him lying naked and drunk in his tent. Noah was a sinner. As such, he was totally incapable of earning the righteousness we need in order to stand before God. From where then did he get this righteousness? If it didn't come from himself, where did it come from? Well, it came from his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, Noah believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed the promise that God had made to Adam and Eve, that one day the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Moreover, he preached this message to everyone around him. In 2 Peter 2, verse 5, Peter calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. That means he preached that in order to stand before God, one must be righteous. And that the only way we can become righteous is by repenting of sin and believing on the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Noah did. He believed on the Son of God. He looked outside of himself to Jesus Christ as the only hope and ground of his salvation. And he urged others to do the same. And as a result, Christ imputed to Noah his righteousness. Noah was righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. This is implied by the words of our text. Notice what God says here. Thee have I seen righteous in this generation. The word seen here can also be translated as considered or regarded. The idea is that Noah was not righteous in himself. Rather, he was seen as such. He was regarded as such by God because he believed on his Son, Jesus Christ. Noah was righteous. And it's on this basis that God invited Noah and his family to enter into the ark. It is because he was regarded as righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Not only was Noah righteous, but he also acted righteously. God commanded him to build the ark, and Noah built it. He commanded him to round up the animals, and he rounded them up. He commanded him to enter into the ark, and Noah and his household entered in. Noah did everything God commanded him. He proved that he was righteous by doing righteousness. As James writes in his epistle, he proved his faith by his works. Well, my friend, what about you this morning? Do you also have this righteousness? Well, someone says, how can this righteousness become mine? Oh, there's only one way, my friend. It is by faith in Christ. We do not inherit this righteousness from our parents. We cannot earn it ourselves. It is received only in the way of faith in Christ. Yes, we must look to Christ and His atoning sacrifice on the cross as the only hope and ground of our salvation. When we do that, then Christ imputes His righteousness to us, such that we stand before God as though we had not committed any sin whatsoever. It is by faith. And therefore I ask, do you have this kind of faith? Again, this is not something we can produce ourselves. It is the gift of God. But it is a gift that God delights to bestow on all those who ask Him. Oh, ask Him then. Ask Him to create this faith in you. A faith that looks away from self and embraces Christ as Lord and Savior. Those who do this will not be put to shame. No, they will enter into the ark, and they shall live and reign with Him forever. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. That's the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me direct at area code 403-553-3400. That's 553-3400. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on the Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on Blackfoot Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at 254-6591. 254-6591. A warm welcome awaits you. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30. In Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth.